Yes, as Chris has said, he's coming back. But as we've just sung there, there's a job for us to do before he comes back.
Amen.
And we've got to be prepared to be doing that and to be open to what God tells us. And sometimes what God tells us can be a little bit silly, or we think it can be a little bit silly. But we've got to get moving. We've got to be open. It tells us to listen with both ears. Yeah. Listen with both ears and move on. A number of years ago, I was working full time, helping to lead a fellowship, and Mike invited me to a meeting. And I normally didn't go because it was a leaders meeting in Hull, and he invited me a number of times, and I hadn't gone to them. And this time he invited me, and I just felt it was right. It's okay, I'm going to go. The reason I didn't go was because I had to take a day off work to go. So I'd say that unpaid, or it was a day's holiday. And I don't know about you, but I evaluate means, and I think, is it going to be worth going? You know, that can seem to be a bit of a funny thing, but yeah, some meetings, you wish I'd never bothered. Yeah, I speak the way it is. Yeah, we found that yesterday when I said something, everybody laughed. But yes, yeah, but that's how I am, you know. And some of you will have heard these. I'm coming through. I feel like I'm doing a quick or a brief resume of different things that God has said to get us here where we are. And at that meeting, I walked into the room and one of the vicars from Hull came up. He says, "You're Robert from Worlds, aren't you?" I said, "Yes. So I've got a word for you. Can I give you it after the meeting?" Anyway, after the meeting, he said to me, "The Holy Spirit is going to take away all the hurts, the heartache, the disappointments, and the betrayal. God has heard you crying out." And picture you walking into a cornfield. Actually, the significance of that today, after what we saw yesterday, it just makes me realize the enemy wants the crop destroyed. We're walking into a cornfield, walking through a crop that is all around you. You've been waiting for this. There's a harvest waiting that God has been preparing. Plans are being prepared. There is a separation, a branching out. God is building something new, which he has not been waiting for. The building, the birthing of something new. God is going to increase your area of influence. See you walking through a wheat field with a plentiful harvest all around you. God is going to lift the pressures off you. Well, it does, certainly doesn't seem like that over the last few years, I can tell you. See you as a farmer. This is where we switch the metaphor. See you as a farmer helping a ewe give birth, putting your hand in and actually drawing out a new birth. Well, for those who don't know, I was a pig farmer. And for many years, I've been up to there drawing piglets out. And it goes on, that would have been stillborn if you hadn't birthed them. Yeah, and that's right. I know that too well. So that put the sense of urgency into this prophetic word. And then he finished up, "There is so much joy." I'm looking forward to this bit. "So much joy in rejoicing at what is happening, rejoicing at the lost souls being saved. So much rejoicing. You're going to be called Rejoicing Robert." We haven't got there yet. We're underway. You know, and I think as I'm encouraging everybody else, I'm speaking to myself, come on. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And even when things seem down and hard, come on, the joy of the Lord, we've got to push through. You know, that was given to me. And from that meeting, I came back and I resigned from where I was as an elder and started something completely new. That's what God said. A bit later on, in one of our meetings, there was another word. The Lord says, I will build my church in this village. No man will thwart or hinder my plans and purposes. And you will see what I am capable of in the supernatural way. And I think that's the key, that as a church, God wants us moving. And we are in the supernatural, guided by the Holy Spirit, seeing the things of the Spirit come into being. And that's what God said. We're not capable. We don't understand fully, but we're grasping it. I think as each year goes by, we're realizing the wonder and the power and the amazement of our fantastic God and what he's capable of. But we don't know what he's capable of. It's way beyond what we think, dream, hope for, or imagine, it says in the scriptures, doesn't it? Time's short, and the people living in darkness will be set free from the grips of evil. That's a word from our God. The people who don't know him yet are going to be released from the grips of evil and put into the kingdom of light. But it goes on, but first you must seek my face and lay hold of my precepts and my agenda. This will not be a carbon copy of former things. I am going to do a new thing in home and district. My people will no longer perish from lack of knowledge. And that's something to hold on to. I know I've been pushed at times. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you doing the other? Because God hasn't said so. And that sounds arrogant. But if God's guiding us and telling us, and I've had people leave the fellowship because I wouldn't do what they wanted me to do. And why? Because God didn't say so. There's been ups and downs. You know, it gets bumpy crossing the road sometimes. But God is calling us to harvest. There is a harvest that's going to be taking place. It's going to come. We need to take hold of that. Isaiah 57 verse 13 says, he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Isn't that a fantastic promise? That we're going to inherit the land and possess God's holy mountain. The holy mountain is the place of God's presence. The holy mountain is the place of God's miracles. The holy mountain is the place of wow. Yeah. We need to be seeing some of that wow. I've said it a number of times. We haven't got to the stage yet where the presence of God is in this place. The presence of God is felt heavily and mightily in this place. Someone who came yesterday to the worship day said, oh, I just love coming to your place. Soon as I turn in and start coming down the drive, I sense the presence of God. But we haven't got to the place yet where we're seeing scripture. They're flat on their faces in the presence of God because they can't move. Wouldn't that be great? That the presence of God is touching us in such a way that we're just absolutely laid and gobsmacked with it. That's coming. But that's one of the anticipations. Yes. God's a covenant-keeping God. He's a promise-keeping God. He doesn't lie. Some people can say, oh, they were given years ago. What are you bothering on thinking about them for? They're a waste of time. They're past. No, God's time scale is different to our time scale. And we've got to be faithful. I was actually in one, it was still dark one night, and I woke up and I felt God said to me, promises fulfilled. That's what I've got for you. And the you was the plural. So promises fulfilled, that's what I've got for you. And that's for all of us. God's saying that, stating it very clearly. Don't let this time pass you by. This time of preparation. We've been saying that for a long time, haven't we? About preparation. But God's saying, don't let it pass you by. There's questions that come when we say that. What shall I be doing? How have I got to do it? How long's it going to be? How big's it going to be? How much is it going to cost? Yeah, all of these questions that come before us. And then God showed me a picture. He showed me a great big pile of washing. The ladies can identify with this more than the men, I think. A great big pile of washing. And then the washing started to get folded. And then you saw how small the pile was when you folded it up and tidied it, rather than just that great heap that's taped on the table. And I felt the Lord said, don't leave things to pile up. Deal with them. Handle them. Put things in order. Promises fulfilled. That's what I've got for you. And then I went into another room in the dream. And there was stuff all over the floor. We can all identify that when the kids have been, can't we? Stuff all over the floor. And God said, pick up what I've given you. Pick it up, put some of it away, pick it up and tidy it up. And I saw the room and the floor just clear. It was God's order. Promises fulfilled. That's what I've got for you. Going back to 2011, the very first night of the prayer room, some can remember that. The very first night. And a prophetic word was given. I have made my home here. Wow. I've been waiting eagerly for this night to take me home, to make my home with you in this place. And for those that know the story of the prayer room, and that's up top, I was at a meeting in Hull again, in the worship time, and God said to me, I want you to make the 6 crates into a prayer room. Okay, Lord. 6 months later, I was in the same building, and the worship started, and the very first verse of the song, halfway through, about 2 lines in, God says, what's happened to this prayer room then? And I went up to John after that meeting, and I said, I'm making myself accountable to you. I am going to make a prayer room, and you keep on me back till it's done. And we converted the 6 crates into a prayer room, and the very first meeting, this is what God said. I've been waiting eagerly for this night to make my home with you in this place. And we felt the Lord was walking around in the midst, mingling between us in this meeting. He was enjoying being with us. This place will be a lighthouse and a beacon. You notice we've got that up at the front as we come in. And from this place, shafts of my piercing light will shine throughout this area and beyond, drawing near to me. I've got a light off here. Can I have it on? It's a little bit dark, please. Yeah. This place will be a place of refuge. Thank you. I can see my notes now. The Holy Spirit was there before we even entered the building. And that night, Margaret saw the angels. all the way around the building. She kept it to herself until one Sunday. And there was the angels in the white garments, absolutely sparkling and glittering with diamonds all the way around the building. The next day, I believe the Lord had given us another name, and I've slipped up reading these notes again. I've realized the name God says is the house of meeting, or the tent of meeting. And we haven't got that anywhere. It will be coming. And God was asking us to come and rest in his company and speak together with him as loving friends talk together. And that was reinforced. I was at another meeting, and Jonathan Cooper, some of you will know, who was the vicar up at Christ Church, Bridlington, fantastic guy. And we're sat in this prayer meeting, I was just talking, and he just stopped, and he pointed his finger at me, as we're just in a small circle, and you were there at the time, Mike. Mm-hmm. I see you as a beacon. Your beacon is a shining light. This is about 3 days or 4 days after we've just been given this. See beyond you real darkness, but round you light. You're keeping the darkness back. You're shining the light in the area. And people, God was going to draw people to me, and the people are going to help lift the beacon higher, to shine more light. And later on, we got something, didn't we, about the beacon getting higher, it's showering out and coming out with the light. God's doing something new. That's what he told us. I've been building a temple, a place of praise and worship and adoration. It's been established. This is years ago. God told us he's established the temple of worship. But this work is going to continue to go on and to grow. I delight in you, my people. Are you listening? As my people, as you praise and worship me, I delight as I see your hearts towards me and for me. My people, you cannot begin to fathom or understand the love that I have for you. As I see you and your obedience to me, it gives me great joy. I will pour out from heaven. Doesn't that just bless you? That our dad said, I love you, and what you're doing, I really enjoy. And I'm building a people who know how to join their shields together, to stand firm together, to encourage and build each other up, to support and stand together. I'm calling you, walk with me and call as I call. These are just things that we're putting down that we're seeing over the years that God's been bringing into being, that we've seen gelling and starting to the establishment, but it's got, you know what it's like, you put a seed down and it takes time. And some of us this year, it hasn't been particularly brilliant in the greenhouses, has it? The seeds haven't been taking. Most frustrating. Anyway, you start with a little seed and it grows into a little plant, and before you know it, Jesus mentions that, doesn't it, about the mustard seed, the smallest seed you can get, but it becomes a massive tree. And that's what God's got planned for us. There was a word given in tongues, and it was interpreted by Derek. Your future is glorious. The things that God has prepared for his people who are heirs of the kingdom and joint heirs with Christ are glorious. But glory has already come to you by a revelation of the Spirit. Wow, that's God talking to us, that the Holy Spirit, we've got a revelation. And like everything else, we get revelation in part, and it's got to come through into fullness. We already know in measure what the glory of the Lord is. We've been hearing about phenomena in the atmosphere and in creation. And one morning, I was sat in my study. I had my desk layout different, looking out of the window this way across the village. And there's 8 panes in my window. And it was really overcast in black clouds and a really strong wind blowing from this side across like that. And the clouds were moving like I don't know what. And I was praying. And I looked up. You know, that's one of the things with being by the window. You shouldn't really do that. But I looked out the window because, you know, it's right to pray with your eyes open as well. And I looked out the window and I stopped. And the cloud that was going this way, the great big black cloud, there's a little bit, came out the bottom of the cloud and started going this way. Well, that got me attention. How can that happen? All these clouds are blowing this way, and this bit's going the opposite direction. And, you know, I felt God said, this is what you're doing. You're going against the tide. You're going against the time. What seemed to be massive forces moving in one direction can be eroded, and the direction can change. You can go against the flow, and numbers will gather as the cloud, momentum will gather as the cloud is sucked, and more people will join and come in to the kingdom. More people are going to be drawn out the crowd or the cloud that's going that way and drawn out, go against the flow and be drawn into the kingdom. And I thought it had stopped. But I hadn't stopped. The Lord says, carry on praying. He says, keep praying. Don't get disheartened. And this is years ago. And I think this is something for us all. It's so easy to get disheartened. We can pray about things and it doesn't happen tomorrow. You haven't prayed long enough. We've got to keep going. We're told in scripture, for perseverance, we get a reward. God loves people who persevere. And don't get disheartened. Don't get disappointed. It's my time scale. You could see what was happening. And more cloud was being eroded. At all different heights now, it was starting to come out of the cloud and go in the opposite direction. And I felt the Lord said, see, it's still going. The cloud's going to get less going that way, and it's going to get more going that way. And there's brightness coming in. And there was, you could see it was starting, the black cloud over the village had lightened. It may seem a small amount now, but it's going to build. So that's what we've got to lay hold of. The heavy cloud moved away. The small one is eroded. The lighter came in. And some of the, you could see the spiritual forces. God was saying the dark clouds being eroded. That's the some of the spiritual forces being pushed back. Back in the line with that prophetic word. Pushing the darkness back. And leaving the lighter in place. The enemy forces are being defeated or being pushed away. They're releasing the hold of bondage over the area. The dark cloud disappeared. A gap appeared in the middle of the cloud, and the sun shone down onto the village, lighting the village up. blue sky and whispery clouds just in that time of prayer. That's our God. He uses nature to illustrate, to speak to us. Now, we're still looking for the fulfillment of this. We're nowhere near it yet. We ain't full in here. And we've already said we want second and third services. You can say that's stupid. That's a dream. Reinforced by another friend of ours who is a recognized prophet. God wants you to know in his terms, wrong page. That's another word from, but I won't bring that one. I'm having to be selective. We could be here all day. God wants to tell you it's a fallacy to think you can't get a quart into a pint pot. Well, that is absolutely impossible in the natural. He says you can, and I'm putting a great deal more than a quart into this pint pot in terms of this fellowship. Get hold of that. That's God's volume control, not mine. He can put more than a quart into a pint pot. As a fellowship, you are absolutely going to see the fullness of the kingdom. The fullness of the kingdom of work through the lives of people here. Healing the sick, raising the dead, hearing, raising the dead, casting out demons. Miracles that are going to get reported far and wide, beyond and outside home on Spalding Moor, beyond and outside the villages you talked about and you're already relating to. Because God said the fellowship was for the area, a resource for the area, not just for the village. And when we're talking about being reported far and wide, in the early years of the fellowship, house sales were very, very, very slow. So we started praying in our prayer meeting about the house sales. And every house we started praying for was sold in double quick time. And you think I'm joking? It was on the radio in London talking about a fellowship in a little place called Home and Spalding Moor, praying for house sales, and they are being sold. Far and wide, that's what the prophetic word was. Our God can do more than we imagine. I'm going to have to be careful here. I'm going to have to stop. We're not going to get anywhere near through this because I want to give you a chance for your dreams. Yeah, I'll do this bit and then I will stop because I'm not a third of the way through. Never mind, I get excited with this. You can say things are daft, but when you're in your quiet time, I hope you have one. If you don't, I'm encouraging you have one. When you're in there, when you get a prompt from God, do it. And God was talking to me one day about mantles. About, if you like, gifts from him and things that he wants to do and what would we like. And he said, I was at my desk and he says, right, what do you want? What can you see on your desk? Just pick it up. So first thing I picked up was my Bible. And he says, yes, that's a mantle to communicate. That's my word to be spoken out. Then I put that down. Then I picked up a cup, because I don't know about you. Some people say it's wrong to have a drink when you're having a quiet time. I don't agree with that. I like my drink. Anyway, cup. Food and drink. It's served up. The Bible is the food and the drink. You've got to serve food and drink. That's one thing as a fellowship we're good at, isn't it? Yeah. Serving food and drink. Yes, hopefully you find spiritual food as well as natural food. And then I've got a little stone. If you want to hear about it, it's my story. It's the story of my keystone. And I've got that, and I picked that up. And God says, yes, that's the mantle to build right. Because the keystone is the stone that holds the arch, that holds the roof up. And if the roof comes in, the build's not good. I know Christmas said we've got a roof here and we want an open heaven. Yes, but we still need a roof. We can have an open heaven with a roof, yes. You know, put that down. I picked up my glasses case and he says, vision. Vision. Now, have we all got vision? If we haven't, latch in to what I'm bringing. Catch on to the vision, the corporate vision we've got, and then we can move from there. Then I picked up, would you believe me, wallet? You know, they reckon that's the last place God touches. It's kept there, well out the way most of the time, and firmly shut. But finances, God's in charge of finances. And you know what, folks? As trustees, we guard our finances in that we guard them correctly. And we give out of everything that's given, we give. And it's currently we tithe out 16% of everything we get in. I know God says 10% each year as trustees, we've stepped it up. And you know what? Each year, God has met the bills with surplus. I picked up my phone. Ways to communicate. And they're dragging me into Facebook and WhatsApp and having a website. Yeah, I'm going to say that. No, I'm stepped into it now. I've been dragged into it. Yeah. But the ways to communicate. And over the last few months, the communications, Zoom, has been absolutely key. For 2 years, Zoom was our relation, and it kept us going. I picked up my keys. Keys to the kingdom. Let's be wholehearted and pick up the gifts. Their gifts. They can become mantles as we move out. So don't think things are stupid when God says do something. Because I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I've got all of those things. But I can tell you one thing. Since I picked them up, I've progressed in them. And that's what God's saying. Now I'm going to stop now. I'm nowhere near finished. I'm going to stop now. And I'll give people the opportunity to come and share your part of the dream, or your dream that you've got, if you would like to. Yeah. If you don't, I'll carry on, or if not many, I'll carry on, and then give you another opportunity next week when you start hearing some of the daftness, okay, which actually becomes reality when we get God moved in. So who would like to be the first one to share a dream? That brings a pregnant silence, doesn't it?
Come on, about sharing a dream? I was saying to Irene the other day, what do we have dreams-wise? What have we let die? And straight off, after Mike spoke, I think it was the very next day, it was virtually the same message in one of the readings I do. Dream. What dreams have I just let fizzle out and go? And one was, is this place? And not this building, but the one for 450 that's going to be on the main road right by the mini roundabout. That was a dream. And that was the vision. And that's what, yes, come on, Father, resurrect it. Let's see. And I saw this place flooded with people who would come because they were desperate for the presence of God. And in a way, I've thought, well, okay, Dad, it doesn't seem to be happening, what's happening. But I just love what Robert shared there about the tent of meeting. Because, you see, for ages, I've been saying, Father, I want our prayer meetings. What? There's something not right. There's something somehow or other, and we're not touching heaven.
Yes. Yeah.
The key the tent of meeting? Do we come to pray or do we come to meet with the King of Kings? In my morning devotions, am I just going through the motions? I'll read the Bible through or whatever. Or am I meeting with the King of Kings? And that, I believe, is our key. As we meet in our morning devotion, it's meeting the King. And I've had some delightful times. The other thing I highlighted as Robert was speaking here, God says, I love you. The number of times I've been worshiping here, leading, and we've been singing those songs which say, I love you, Lord. And I've heard him say, I love you too. And he's sung it back over us as we've sung to him. And I think so much of that and the revelation of that and starting to dwell even more in it and in his presence is what we're anxious for. And that's my dream. Like Robert said, the day when my dream has been the day when I can stop playing the keyboard because I'm flat on the floor and everybody doesn't even know because they're flat on the floor too. The very sense of his presence as such. And when people, like we had one lady, couldn't get in that prayer room.
That's right.
She had something with her that didn't belong with her. And she had to be set free of that before she could actually step into the prayer room. And she was, praise God. But we so want a tide of that. There are so many more people who need setting free.
Yeah, John's alluded to something that I was coming on to later, but it's a slight change. But yeah, anybody else want something? Yeah, family, you should be bold enough to speak on Zoom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my dream would be that we've said it before many times, a generational church and not a grandparent church, which sometimes I think we feel we are at the minute, and that we'd get youngsters coming through, and that we've got people covering all the different age groups, leading them, and people assisting them, and just a real buzz, a full church full of busy, motivated, people. I don't know whether that's come across right.
Yes. A full church of motivated people. That word's right, motivated. Every one of us. Mike and I were just talking yesterday, and he said back in the 70s and 80s, we were pioneers. Where are the pioneers today? You know, a lot of the generations behind us are not here. Yeah. So, folks, we're still the pioneers. Yeah. We've got to keep moving. It's God's plan. He'll strengthen us. Caleb was 85, so nobody in this room gets let off when he said, let me take the high ground. Yeah. He didn't take the low ground. He took the hard area at 85. Yeah. So it's a case of moving on. Does anybody else want to share anything? If not, I've got just a couple of minutes and then I'll stop at a place. But I just want to bring this one other word that was given. I'm just part of it. God's beginning to reveal greater things that he's got in store for this place. He can't show you everything, because it would really blow your mind. Because of the plans and purposes he's got for this place. One thing he did show, this is to the prophet, one thing I did see earlier on was a doctor's surgery. Some of the people who are going to get saved are medics. And they are coming. And they are going to want to set up a surgery somewhere on the land, somewhere on the farm, so that the people can come in, and instead of going away with a prescription, they're going away with prayer. See the doctors coming in to confirm what this one says. God's going to create a staircase right here between heaven and earth, direct into the throne room of heaven. And Father says, as you come before me on Sunday morning to be your prayer, to bring your prayers and your worship and your sacrifices to honor him, angels are going to descend and ascend. When the angels descend, they will bring healing. They will bring liberty. They will bring freedom. They will bring deliverance. Bring solutions to problems that have plagued people, and this place will be known as the place that sits at the bottom of the staircase that leads right into the throne room of heaven. People are going to be coming here in desperation of need. They're going to come here in the last days of cancer. They're going to come here with financial troubles bigger than they can cope with. They're going to come here with family issues and relationship breakdowns. And God says, as they come here and you worship, God says, part of the package of you worshiping and them joining you is that the angels can be released to bring in the healing and deliverance that's needed. And the angels that are going to bring salvation. And Father says there are days to be when you are going to come in here and you are not going to be able to move. And this is where I get my word from. As I invite you to come with anticipation. Don't come with expectation, because expectation means that you expect this to happen or that to happen. And if you're expecting that, you close my hands down and limit what I can do. If you come anticipating a move of the Holy Spirit, if you come anticipating that I am going to presence myself with you, then you will not be disappointed and you will not limit me. We don't want to limit God, do we? No way. So it's not to have expectation, but to have anticipation. And know that you will be, that there will be an open heaven. And you didn't know anything about the word that I gave you before. The clouds are parting and the glorious sun is shining upon this place. People are going to see it for miles around and come in the same way that in America, people chase the whirlwinds and the tornadoes and everything. God says they're going to see it in the same way that people who chase tornadoes, they're going to come here because they're chasing the open heaven. Wow. Do you get hold of that? You can say, well, that's ridiculous. That's a pipe dream. So what? I believe it. We're hanging on to it. Because God said it. Another word that was given, and then I will finish at this. Believe God is saying to you to think outside of the box. And I don't just mean outside the box. I mean really outside, outside, outside the box. What you would dream. Think outside the box. What is it that you've got that you daren't tell anybody because you think it'll be wacky? Or you think that is way beyond the possibilities? God can do immeasurably more than we hope for, dream, or imagine. So think outside the box. I'm giving you another opportunity. We'll continue with this next week. Something that was said to us as a fellowship, is the men used to go across to a prayer and fasting across in York, meeting with other churches in York. And they heard what we were doing as a fellowship. And the report came back was, you guys are punching way above your weight. Well, let's just move up another weight level, shall we? and see what God's going to do. Just let's dream. Let's imagine. Let's see. So I'll continue that next week. And I don't know what you're going to play for that, John. But bless you. Thank you, Lord. And Father, just pray that the Holy Spirit can be touching these words, settling in, that anything that's agitating, anything that's saying that's ridiculous, anything that's saying that's not possible, Lord, your Holy Spirit would just say, make a way for an opening up, for receptivity. Thank you, Lord. Amen.